Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details about the column and the podcast at our anchor page, offbeatoregon.com. Check that out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the second part of our four-part series about the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, his assistant Ma Anand Sheela, and the fun we all had with them as neighbors in Rajneeshpuram in Central Oregon. Sheela kind of set the tone for the commune's relations with the rest of Oregon, and that tone was, as we'll discuss, not a friendly one. This story was first published on May 16th, 2010, under the headline Rajneeshpuram, Oregon's Red Scare Featured Dozens of Rolls Royces. The Red Scare bit, by the way, refers to the habit of the sannyasins, as they called themselves, the followers of the Bhagwan, all wore red all the time. Okay, here we go. One of the strangest episodes in Oregon history took place just a few dozen years ago when an East Indian guru bought a patch of the Central Oregon High Desert Country. Many of us remember the saga of the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh vividly. Although the Bhagwan said he was not a spiritual leader or founder of a cult, he did apply for tax-exempt religious group status for his organization. He wasn't big on poverty, and when his followers started buying him Rolls-Royce automobiles, he was happy to accept. By the end of his ride, he had at least 90 of them. While he'd been known in India as the sex guru, he quickly became known in his new Oregon home as the Rolls-Royce guru. Now, as you probably know, Central Oregon is a place where people tend to mind their own business. So one would expect the locals to react to a group of mystics buying one of the local ranches with not much more than a chuckle and a shake of the head. And in fact, that's how it was, at first. But as you may recall, if you've lived here for a while, the honeymoon for the sannyasins was very short. It ended virtually the instant the Bhagwan's designated spokeswoman and number two, Ma Anand Sheela, started talking to the media. Sheela considered Oregon locals to be a bunch of ignorant, small-minded rednecks, and never missed a chance to share that view. It also didn't help matters that the Bhagwan had started staging road shows each day, driving one Rolls or another 70 miles from the ranch, accompanied by security jeeps full of armed guards and buses of devotees, to get an ice cream soda. A strange menu selection for a diabetic man, really, in Madras. He would enjoy the soda in the car while the red-clad multitudes danced around the Rolls, celebrating the guru's snack in the noisy style of Westerners acting out their stereotypes of Eastern mysticism. Meanwhile, the newcomers were having a little bit of trouble with their grand scheme to build a big city on the land, which was zoned for exclusive farm use. Specifically, they were having trouble getting variances. So they bought a building in the tiny but incorporated nearby town of Antelope, moved a bunch of followers into it, and ran four of them for the city council. In desperation, the other residents of Antelope tried to disincorporate the town, but the red people were now voting members of the town, and there was only so much resistance that 43 registered voters could put up. The Rajneeshis won the election handily, and thus was begun what would later become known locally as the invasion and occupation of the town. The new city council promptly renamed the town Rajneesh and made clothing optional in the city park. Then, of course, they got busy approving the variances they needed for the property that they had within the city limits. Having tasted the cup of power, the commune now set its sights on bigger game. First, they incorporated their commune as a genuine municipality. So then they had two towns, Rajneesh and Rajneeshpuram. Then they started trying to pack followers into the commune so that they might have a greater impact on Wasco County elections. Well, here's how they were going to do that. Rajneesh leaders threw open the gates of the commune to the nation's homeless, paying bus fare for anyone who wanted to come to Rajneeshpuram for the, quote, share a home program. Free food, shelter, and clothing. It was a compelling idea for anyone shivering under a railroad bridge in February in Seattle or Oakland or Boston or wherever. However, to be eligible, the homeless people had to be adults. Homeless families were not brought in. Meanwhile, the Bhagwan's teachings had lurched wildly into weirdness, lending some credibility to later claims that he made that his voice had been co-opted by Sheela. Now he was predicting global thermonuclear holocaust by the mid-1990s and urging his followers to dig deep bunkers so they could survive it. By this time, Sheila had his power of attorney as well, and on the surface, it looked like she was managing it very well. By the end of 1984, despite the resentment and open enmity of almost everyone, the Bhagwan's followers seemed poised to take over Wasco County and build the shining sannyasin city that the bearded one had always talked and dreamed about. But it was not to be. 2 years later, the Bhagwan was in exile. Sheila was in prison. Antelope, renamed Antelope once again, was back in the hands of its citizens, and law enforcement officers were breathing a sigh of relief. We'll talk about how that happened next week. But for now, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get it all at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, which includes the complete catalog of about 200 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include works by Bill Gulick, Wynn McCormick, and the website osho.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, just plain Offbeat Oregon. This podcast is uncovered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, please see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. Tomorrow is Thursday, and on Thursdays I do readings from interesting and important works from Oregon's historical past. On this particular occasion, I'm going to be reading a Stuart Holbrook story that was published in the American Mercury in 1943 about the changing life and times of an Oregon logger. So look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.